Governor Tony Evers' capital budget must pass both the State Building Commission and the legislature's Budget Writing Committee. So we're breaking down what's in this plan on the state capital report. The governor spoke Friday at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He said his capital budget is robust, reasonable, and there are a lot of pent-up issues.
The state is likely the very largest building owner, and in the state of Wisconsin, we have to make sure that the assets that we have are in good shape, and that has been neglected significantly over the last few years.
So what do you think of these capital expenditures? Do you think this would be money better spent elsewhere? Do you think it's necessary to bring buildings up to date? Join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. Sean Johnson is WPR's State Capital Bureau Chief. Sean, welcome back.
Good morning.
So tell us about what is in this budget. We know it's quite a bit bigger than Governor Scott Walker's proposal in the past for capital budgets.
Yeah, I mean, it's the biggest capital budget that we've seen in Wisconsin, if it were approved, in a decade, really. It's about $2.5 billion. About $2 billion of that is borrowing, and about $1 billion of the total spending is going to University of Wisconsin building projects, which is a big chunk, much larger than the UW has seen, the UW system has seen over the past decade. So there's a lot in there.
So UW system has a big chunk. What are some other big chunks? I mean, generally speaking, where would the money funnel to for these building projects?
So a few of the UW examples would be there's $109 million for a science and health sciences building at the UW-Eau Claire, $128 million for an expansion and renovation of the UW-Madison's veterinary medicine building, $130 million for a chemistry building at the UW-Milwaukee. And then you go beyond there, then you've got money in there for a new historical society museum, for example.
The one across from the Capitol.
Yeah. And that's one that wouldn't be just exclusively paid for by the state. There's a pretty big private component to that one, too. I think it's $70 million in state funding and $30 million in private donations. There's money for some convention center improvements. There's $30 million to expand the Alliant Energy Center in Dane County. There's money in there for Camp Randall. That's a university project, but a university landmark and university building that people are pretty familiar with. So it's pretty expansive. The list is long.
Sean, step back for us. What is a capital budget and how is it different from the regular budget?
It's really separate from everything that you heard the governor talk about a couple weeks ago. Obviously, they're interrelated, but when the governor introduces that $83 billion budget, that includes federal funding, state funding, all funding to run state government. This is specifically for building projects and not even road building projects, which is a separate item altogether.
It's a whole other enchilada.
That's part of the whole budget there that the governor talked about a couple weeks ago. This is for, they would call them in state government, vertical building projects. So actual buildings. And, $2.5 billion, it's not nearly as large as the $83.4 billion in the governor's overall budget, but it's paid for in a different way, as building projects are.
We had UW System President Ray Cross on our program last week, and let's hear his thoughts on the capital budget.
We asked for $1.9 billion, which is a lot of money. We know that. $1.8 of it was to repair, replace, or renovate the facilities we have because they're so old, and now it's getting more costly to maintain them. In some cases, we have safety issues.
So it sounds like the University of Wisconsin system wanted more out of this capital budget and then it's actually getting out of the proposal.
Yeah, but you didn't hear anything from Cross, at least in the statement that the UW system put out after this budget was released. There was nothing in there saying, hey, we only got half of what we asked for. It was more, we appreciate the governor recognizes many of the challenges we face. Our challenges are significant. It was more along the lines of, thank you, these are significant challenges. I didn't detect any hint of give us the other $0.9 billion because this faces some political realities in the legislature, and I'm sure President Cross is well aware of that.
So is this mainly for UW system to address a lot of the repair backlog, or are these actual brand new buildings in the works?
It's a mix. I mean, there are new buildings in there, and even if they're renovations, I mean, when you're talking about a $128 million expansion and renovation of the UW-Madison's Veterinary Medicine Building. That's a sizable renovation. So it's not just like patching up concrete here and there. These are some big projects.
You're with us for the State Capitol Report. WPR's Bureau Chief Sean Johnson is at our side as we break down the issues at the Capitol. Your questions certainly welcome throughout the hour at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the idea that this Capitol budget is 2.5 times larger than the last one from Governor Walker? How would your community or work be impacted by construction? And what's on your mind about Foxconn? Call in. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. We'll continue this conversation ahead on the Ideas Network. We're looking at Governor Evers' capital budget request and getting your reaction on the state capital report. The 2019 to 2021 capital budget is about 3 times larger than what former Governor Walker put out in his 2017 to 2019 request. Here is Governor Evers on Friday speaking at the Medical College of Wisconsin and addressing how to pay for these projects.
For the building programs, that bonding is the likeliest approach. And, you know, the interest rates are good now. Wisconsin has a relatively good bond rating. So we feel investment at this time is important.
We're looking at the items on the list and the borrowing involved to get the work completed. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts about the state borrowing for these building projects? Are you a student or do you work in the UW system? Do you think these projects are necessary? Call in. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Sean Johnson stays with us. He is WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief. So, Sean, in terms of borrowing to get these projects done, how likely is the Republican majority legislature would support this kind of borrowing?
So their reactions initially were not great. I mean, Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald called the proposal alarming, I guess, at first glance. Assembly Majority Leader Jim Steinke tweeted out a picture or a GIF of money raining down from the sky.
I saw that one.
And then he later tweeted some more, talked about how it's kind of typical of a Milwaukee-Madison-centric approach from the Evers administration, so complaining that there aren't more building projects up in his district, for example. So that's been the approach so far. I mean, they're going to talk about that borrowing number, I think it's safe to say. And, you know, it is larger than we've seen in the capital budget. I don't think you can view it just in isolation, though, because, you know, the state borrows for other stuff, too.
Well, explain where the budget goes from here, because it now goes through a process in terms of vetting, right?
It goes to the Building Commission, mm-hmm. and the Building Commission has a majority of Democratic members. I mean, the governor chairs the Building Commission. He has a citizen member on there that he appoints. And so I think you can probably guess that it's going to pass there. And then everything's got to pass the legislature eventually. And the legislature has strong Republican majorities. So it's how they view this building, these building projects, this capital budget is going to say a lot about its chances going forward.
Let's go to Clint now, joining us from Sun Prairie. Clint, hi.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind about this capital budget?
So I really do like the idea of investing and spending the money that Evers has put in the budget. But one thing I'm wondering is what type of transparency will we have to ensure that if this does pass, that we would be able to make sure that things stay on track and on budget, and that most importantly, that the companies of Wisconsin or companies within Wisconsin would be the primary beneficiaries of doing all this building.
Great question, Clint.
I don't know what kind of requirements they have for Wisconsin companies to get the work. You know, what kind of score that gets as part of the Department of Administration bidding process when they go through these things. I'm guessing that is a factor. I'm not sure that what level of importance they give that as they assign these
things. They certainly put it on display for Foxconn.
I did, definitely for Foxconn. Foxconn has more of a political element to it than most building projects in the state.
Well, I like to tap into your institutional memory at the Capitol because your mind's like a steel trap in politics. So were Democrats ever alarmed when Governor Walker unveiled his Capitol budget?
Definitely. But for much different reasons, because Walker's budget, especially a couple budgets ago, he had a very small capital budget. Essentially no new borrowing at one point, and it changed as it went through the process. But this is where I say you got to look at these things in the totality of the whole budget, because in that budget, Governor Walker was under a lot of scrutiny because he was borrowing $1.3 billion to pay for transportation. He didn't have a gas tax increase or a vehicle registration fee increase in that budget, but he borrowed a lot for roads, and he was under a lot of pressure for that. So the flip side of that for Walker was, we'll keep overall borrowing low and we won't borrow for these building projects. So yes, borrowing was low for building projects there, but it was kind of a response to what was happening elsewhere.
You're with us for the State Capitol Report as we work through the issues and politics swirling around the Capitol. Sean Johnson is our trusty guide on a Monday. How is WPR's, what is on your mind about Foxconn? Do you live in Racine County? Are you concerned about air and water quality permits? Or do you think the due diligence has been done? We're at 800-642-1234 to join the conversation. Email ideas at WPR.org. News is next. Stay with us for more on the State Capitol right here on the Ideas Network. We're keeping an eye on the state capitol developments as we set up our week, and WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson is guiding us through the conversation and what he's reporting on. You have a line to Sean at 800-642-1234. What policies, what bills do you want to see action on? What do you think about Governor Evers' fiscal agenda so far? What's on your mind about Foxconn? You can call in, email ideas at WPR.org. Sean, let's look at Foxconn here for a moment. Governor Evers asked for a review of Foxconn's air and water permits when he first took office. His top aide said this week that all in all, of the permits have been deemed appropriate. So what does this mean for critics of Foxconn's environmental impact?
It means that they, can't point back to whether they can't raise the question of whether the permits that were granted under the Walker administration were invalid, because Walker had a lot at stake behind this. He was definitely pushing the project. The DNR answered to him. They reviewed the permits. Those permits have now been reviewed by a new administration with a more critical eye toward this project. But they are in order. The Evers administration said that they were audited, that they're in good shape. And so now the question is, what does Foxconn do next from here? Because those permits were for a project that may not, bear much resemblance to what they ultimately build in Southeast Wisconsin.
So was the Evers administration decision to review the permits, was that more of a, we need to get up to speed on this, or were they actually looking for something with those permits in terms of doing that analysis?
When the governor called for them, he said that this is something that the public wanted. It's something that people had talked about on his campaign, that people care about clean air, clean water. And so it was a natural step for him to step in and just make sure that these things were in order. So he never said, we're looking for something, or I suspect there's something missing there, but it was just kind of a due diligence check, with Foxconn being such a hot issue in his campaign in the Democratic primary, an even bigger issue probably. And so this is just Evers kind of following through on that.
And you were making some calls on this last week. Foxconn still has additional environmental permits, but some of those permits are dependent upon what the company actually ends up building. And here is Wisconsin's Department of Administration Secretary Joel Brennan last week, and said they're good to go.
The next phase of their air and water permits would really be based on what the physical project is. And because that's still been kind of amorphous, there really is little for DNR to respond to in terms of the building program there.
Okay, so where do we go from here, and what do we know about the scope of the project?
We know that as the Secretary of Administration, Joel Brennan, spoke last week, he was saying that administration officials were going to meet with Foxconn officials in the next few days. So this is the Evers administration sitting down with Foxconn officials and saying, what are you doing here? Because there's been a lot of reporting that a lot of conflicting plans coming out from the company, starting with a Reuters article from a little more than a month ago now, where a top aide to Foxconn CEO told Reuters, we have no future in television in the United States. They eventually walked that back and said by the end of that week, when that report came out, that they were going to build a Generation 6 LCD screen plant in Southeast Wisconsin. But that's a lot different than what they talked about building when they got this big incentive package from the state. That was a Generation 10.5 LCD plant, which I didn't know until, you know, last year, but that's the biggest of screens, basically. And so they went from building this, talking about building a plant that was going to be cutting edge, building the biggest of screens, to earlier this year saying we've got no future in TV, to now a Generation 6. And so I guess what we're looking for now is whether some of that gets put down on paper, if these plans become official, or if they're just ideas that are kind of floating out there from one news article to the next.
So I think we've expanded our knowledge of LCD screens through this process, right?
Oh, yeah, several fold for me. I mean, it's really, when it comes down to the screens, what makes it hard for them to build the big screens, and I didn't know this, is you just have to get the glass there. So glass that big has to be, you know, manufactured very nearby. And there are only a few companies that make glass that big, Corning being a notable name. They didn't want to build in Wisconsin without a huge payment from the state, and the state wasn't going to do that. So there's really no supply of that big glass for Foxconn, so they can't build those big screens.
And those feeder industries, so important to the essential to the product of Foxconn. So there's this new position at the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation that's specifically related to Foxconn, the state economic initiatives director. Sam Rickers starts the job today.
Yeah, and he was described by Joel Brennan, the DOA secretary, as the Foxconn quarterback. So this is the person that's going to be kind of the point person for the state in dealing with Foxconn and all these local governments that have a stake and a financial investment in the Foxconn project. So Sam Rickers he answers officially to the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation board. That is something that changed in the lame duck session. Republicans wanted to have kind of that level of control, or for Wiedek to have that level of control over this position. It used to be that that person answered to the administration. It would have been the Evers administration. So that said, it sounds like there's kind of a harmonious agreement here between the Evers administration and the Wiedek board. I mean, it sounds like everybody's on board on this hire, and, you know, Rickers has a resume that he was worked in the Obama administration for a few years too, so it's not like this is something that the Evers, a Governor Evers, won't be able to support. It's just a matter of who he answers to. It's kind of a weirdness that was developed during the lame duck session, but it seems like everybody's kind of pulling the same direction.
Starting to gel. Talking with Sean Johnson, he is WPR's State Capitol Bureau Chief. We're looking at developments at the Capitol. You have a line at 800-642-1234. Sean, last week, Governor Evers' nominee for DNR Secretary Preston Cole faced pretty tough questions during a Senate committee hearing. What were the lawmakers' concerns in a nutshell?
Well, when you're talking about the DNR and you're talking about the Senate, Tom Tiffany has been the senator who chairs the Natural Resources Committee in the Senate, has been kind of made a political career out of being an outspoken critic of the DNR. I mean, he says that, actually, to put it in Tiffany's words, no other agency has more of an effect on the state's economy than the DNR. Mm. I mean, I think he's talking about it in a negative terminology, potentially, that the DNR could get in the way of development. So Tiffany really pushed him on, you know, what the agency's plans were going forward. He's He was concerned about what some DNR employees had said about Tiffany's district, because Tiffany had been so critical of the DNR. There was, at least one DNR employee who said, like, don't vacation up in Tiffany's district. Preston Cole was very, I guess he was apologetic on that one. He said that shouldn't happen.
Well, the committee didn't take a vote on Cole's confirmation, and they may never vote on his confirmation. Can you explain about why that is?
They typically don't vote right away after they hold a hearing on something like this, so that's not all that out of the ordinary. Eventually, if the Senate is going to confirm Preston Cole or any of these other cabinet secretaries, they'd get approved by these committees and then approved by the full Senate. But until that happens, they are the cabinet secretaries. I mean, it's not like a judgeship where somebody gets nominated to be a judge and then they don't get to start being a judge until they're voted to be confirmed by the U.S. Senate, for example. When it comes to state agencies, these people are running the agencies as soon as they're appointed by a governor. A Senate can come in and fire them, basically, by taking a vote to not confirm. But if there's no vote, these are the cabinet secretaries, and that's the case with all of Evers' cabinet secretaries right now.
Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald said that Cole isn't in danger of being rejected. If that's the case, why did the committee grill him for 3.5 hours?
I think it's because it's their chance to do it. Okay. I mean, you don't often get a chance to just grill the head of an agency about which you're critical in the case of Senator Tiffany. I mean, he wanted to say his piece, and this is basically his chance to do it, even if it doesn't matter when it comes to the ultimate confirmation vote.
Well, we're talking about cabinet picks. What about Don Crim? Crim is Governor Evers' pick for the Department of Safety and Professional Services and has a child abuse charge that was overturned back in 2005.
Yeah, so this one, she was going to have a confirmation hearing last week, but that was postponed. And what happened is Secretary Designee Don Crim faced felony charges for allegedly stabbing her son's hand repeatedly with a pen. This is according to court records first reported on by the Wisconsin State Journal. According to Dane County court documents, Crim admitted to poking her 5-year-old son's hand with a pen until it bled. The incident occurred after Crim read a letter from her son's school saying he'd poked another student with a pencil. The case was dismissed and no trial was held. Crim agreed to fulfill requirements of a deferred prosecution agreement. And according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, after Crim admitted fault, she successfully appealed to county officials to overturn their initial finding of physical child abuse. And so that's where things stand now, is that she was charged, she reached a deferred agreement, she appealed, and that initial ruling was overturned.
Very quickly, what's your eye on this week? What will you be covering?
Well, we're going to be covering Dawn Crim's confirmation hearing for sure. There are going to be some more debates now between candidates for the Wisconsin Supreme Court coming up this week. So that election is drawing near, and they're going to be having more forums around the state.
It's almost spring, John.
It is almost spring. I've heard that, but I see a lot of snow still out there. But yeah, the spring election is right around the corner, and so they are going to be talking more outside of like television and radio commercials.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Sean Johnson is WBR's State Capitol Bureau Chief, and we often check in with Sean or his colleague Laurel White to make sense of the latest developments in state politics. They are our politics brain trust, and you can find them on the Politics Podcast that comes out on Fridays at WPR.org. You're with us on The Morning Show right here on the Ideas Network.